Next speaker needs no introduction, because you all know him by now. So we're going to ask Brother Gary Gwynn to come and preach to us out of the Bible.
Forget the South, I'm moving up north. I got to make sure I ain't in a motel sleeping. Are y'all kidding me? Thank y'all. Wow. I thought we was going to do our scriptures when that came down. And I saw that little boy. I said, hey, that good-looking dude looks like me. Oh, my goodness. Thank y'all so much. Even turn that on. Okay, I'm on green. That means got to go. Amen. I guess one of the highlights of ministry for me is radio. You know, I was saved 42 years ago. I run a transmission shop on there on Highway 8 in Pickens, South Carolina. I got saved on Sunday, and I walked in that shop, and I just gave it to God. I was just an Air Force brat. I didn't know nothing about church, didn't know about this book. But I just gave it to him. Amen. And you know, in my shop, you go back there and you flip one switch at the box, and it turns everything in the shop on. Well, when everything come on, that rock and roll music I used to listen to, it came a-blaring. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. They said, now we got to get rid of that junk. Amen. And I said, yes, sir. And this is kind of leading me into my message here. So I went over to that radio. I had speakers about this tall. And when I was working, and no one was around, I was building them transmissions, I'd turn on Rock 101, and son, I had the bass going, and when it come on, I mean, I shook the cinder blocks. That's no more of that. So I went over trying to find something on FM, Brother Shelton, trying to find something. Couldn't find anything. And flipped it over to AM. And I just took that dial. Well, back then we had dials. wasn't no push button, brother, dials. And so I just gave it a turn. And it went from this side all the way down, and that dial, that needle bounced off and landed on 1540 AM WTBI in Pickens, South Carolina. And they just had come on the air not long, just a few weeks before I got saved. And I don't know if y'all have ever heard of the group, the Primitive Quartet. The Primitive Quartet were singing A Flight Without an Airplane. And I got to listen to that. I said, A Flight Without an Airplane. And I started listening to the words, Brother Alquist. And I said, that's talking about me. I'm going to leave out of here one of these days, and I'm not going to have an airplane. And then I kept listening. And after that, one of my heroes in Pickens, Don Leslie, came on with a morning watch broadcast. And you know what he started doing? Preaching. I didn't turn it off. I turned it up. I turned it up. And my buddies were next door to the other part of the shop, and they come over and said, what in the world you got going on? I said, come on in here and listen. And they found out it was preaching. They went back to their shop. I didn't have to listen to no more filthy jokes and none of that stuff. I started telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you my first encounter with being a blessing to somebody. I was doing my aunt's transmission, had her car there. And she come in, she was real upset, you know, transmission went out, and you know, you're my nephew. And I said, hey, your family don't get no break with me. You know? No, sir, it's me and mine and nobody else. Well, I got her transmission done, and I was making her bill out. Brother Alquist, I was making that bill out. The Holy Ghost said, You mark it paid. I said, "My Lord, can we have a talk about this?" He said, "Mark it paid." And I marked it paid. And my aunt come in there to get her car. And she pulled up to the desk there in her chair. And she said, "Well, son, how much do I owe you?" I said, "Well," I said, "Aunt Mary Lee," I said, "it's $198. She just went like this. And I said, "But you know what?" She said, "What?" I said, "Somebody paid it. I marked it paid in full. Somebody paid it." And she started crying. And I started crying. And that brother talking about the Lord drying up tears. I had to talk with the Lord like that one time. Because I'd get to crying about preaching and all. And I said, "Lord, can you just get them kind of out of the way?" Son, I was back for daylight asking for that back. And it was such a great time in my ministry. And I wasn't even called to preach yet. That came in. I was saved March 11th, 84. I surrendered to preach September 15th, 1984. Well, I guess y'all know my whole life story now. What am I telling y'all anything for? You know, watched it all on the thing. I still cannot believe y'all have done this for me. Wow. Yeah. Baby, when you start looking for a house before we go down tomorrow. I've been to South Carolina Baptist Fellowship, Piedmont Baptist Fellowship, and I'm going to get on them guys. They ain't never done nothing for me. Brother, they ain't even bought me supper, you know. And they come up here and get a check for $1,000. Woo! Oh, yeah, they got a plaque, too. But from then on, here I am, saved by the grace of God. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'm going to read one verse, verse number 9. Wow. I was looking up there and saw all them. I said, "Wow." See, my wife has been drilling me for 3 weeks. She said, "Now, honey, you know, what was this?" I said, and after a few, I said, what's going on? You planning my assassination? Well, God, see, I said, something's up. And I said, "I know the college tabernacle I graduated from wasn't going to give me no doctorate degree." I hope they wasn't anyway. But I said, "What's going up with her? What's going on?" Ask me all these questions. And I said, "Why do you want to know about the Philippines? Why do you?" Anyway. But you know my last verse, Brother Shelton, is this, Psalms 115:1. "Not unto us, O Lord," he says it again, "not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy true sake." On my pulpit, been on my pulpit for 35 years at the same church, Psalms 115:1. And in the center of that, it says, "Make Jesus center of attraction." And every time I preach in my church, I look down. And he reminds me, "Son, it's not you. It's not you. It's me. It's me." And I have been trying to be a Psalms 115:1 pastor and preacher for 42 years I've been preaching. Now, let me say something. When I was thinking about this verse, in verse number 9, it says, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel," he said, "go." Then he said, "Lie down." Okay. "And it shall be, if he call thee," that's three times later now, "thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now, I am fixing to turn September the 1st. Kathy will give you the address. You can send cards, anything will do. And I'll be 68 years old. Who said I didn't look like 68? No, nobody. Oh, that's right. I just thought I heard that. 68 years old, and Psalms 115:1 is more precious to me on this day than it was the first day I claimed it. It makes me want to listen to the Lord. Dr. Beckham came to our church after I got my heart right about my prayer closet, and he started the Intercessor Ministries. And he preached a message, and God got a hold of my heart. And here's what I tell my people, my wife and Jonah and all them, my daughter, I tell my people over and over and over, I said, you need to get in your prayer closet and pray. You need to get in your Bible and read and study. And after you do that, you need to listen what the Lord says. Now, I believe the majority, I'm going to say the majority, of God's people are not really listening to God like they need to listen to God. I mean, when He speaks, we should listen. Now, I want to ask you a question, men of God. If you don't have a prayer closet, how would you get any direction from God? How would you get any? If you're not in this blessed old book right here, studying and preparing and talking to God about what is it that you want me to preach on? What is it you want me to preach about? And I promise you, okay, if you're in fellowship with Him, He's going to give you something to preach. But He wants us to listen. Now I'm not saying that I expect to hear the Lord speak to me with an audible voice, okay, as He spoke to Samuel here. But you know, but I do want Him to speak to me by His Word and by His Spirit. I desire that. When I prepare to preach to our people, I get at my desk or on my knees in my prayer closet, and I say, God, I need something from You that will help my people. And while You're at it, help me too. You see, you got to understand this. My wife, I have been her pastor for 35 years. Bless her heart. For 35 years. And sometimes I'll ask her, and I said, of all the preaching today, when we go to fellowships and stuff, I said, did you have a favorite? Now, y'all know y'all do that. Today, you're going to go out of here, and you're going to say, well, who was your favorite? Oh, Brother Gwen, of course. Not the M&M guy. I done learned to love this guy. I met him in the parking lot. But, you know, when I think about, and my wife will say, well, honey, I like hearing you. I can do it with this coat. The other ones I got won't button. Oh, my goodness. But I want to be able to stand before people and give them what God has given me. Would you, preacher, say amen to that? I don't want to give you what I want to give you. I just don't want to give you that. I want to give you what God has given me through the Word and by His Spirit. Okay? So, He does still, by the way, He does still speak to His people. He does still speak to His preachers and evangelists and pastors and missionaries. And hey, listen, and He does still speak to preachers' wives. You preachers' wives, thank God for you. Without you, your husband wouldn't be what he is. Up our way, I don't know if y'all have heard what's going up our way. I'm not going to mention all that junk going up our way. I just shake my head in unbelief. I said, I cannot believe that that has happened about preachers and their wives. And I'll say, God, thank you. Thank you for my wife. We were backwards. When we met, when I bought her that Coke, y'all saw it. You know, when I first saw her, I said, Lord, what's her name? He said, Wow. And I said, you're right. Wow. Huh? Yeah. When Adam saw Eve, he said, Whoa, man. That's how y'all got your name. Woman. Yeah. That's how you got your name. So if you preachers, listen, it ain't all about you. I know it's about God, but it's that lady beside you. It's that lady that has stayed home and prayed for you while you went out and ministered to people and preached the gospel to people. And she stayed at home and prayed for you and loved you and kept house for you and raised youngins for you. My wife did that. And I love her. That award should have underneath it Kathy Lynn Gwynn. I am what I am by the grace of God and the woman that God gave me. I love her. And I always want to be with her. And I ain't looking for another one. I got her trained now. I don't need another one. I don't know why I said that, Brother Shelton. I got to drive 12 hours down the road. I only come up here to get my grandson. Patty said she'd go back with us and take the grandson and stay about a week. I said, yeah, we'll come up and preach. I'm just kidding. Not about the grand youngest. But God, well, you can see, God's been good to me. Never in a million years, never. I had not one that I would walk in the doors of this church not knowing anybody except this brother back here. I saw him in Kernersville, North Carolina one time, and thinking that this y'all would do that for me. I am, let me give you a South Carolina word, I'm bum fuzzled. I am. I said, wow. And y'all did it. Y'all get to sniff while I'm preaching. Now, can I ask you a question? When God speaks, what does he speak to? Our hearts. Our minds. God needs to speak to you, preacher, in your heart and your mind, about your church, about your ministry, whatever it is you're doing for God. And by the way, thank God for y'all. If you're pastoring according to the Word of God, preaching according to the Word of God, amen, thank God for y'all. Thank you so much for the work you're doing. It's nothing about, you know, north and south. It's not about it's being brothers in Christ, workers together in God's vineyard. And I enjoy working with all God's men. And I've met a bunch of them over the years and made good friends. I had a few that didn't like me. I don't understand that part. But they just, I don't know, they just didn't. But I do want the Lord to speak to me. And I do want him to speak to my mind. I do want him to speak to my conscience. And I do want him to speak to my heart. Okay? I want him to speak to my heart words of instruction. We need instruction. I'm not too good for God to give me instruction. That word instruction means he gives you directions and he gives them to you detailed. It's not roundabout. Do this and see what you can do with it. He's going to give you directions what he wants you to do. And when you know he's speaking to you, go with it. Get busy with it. And do it. Do what God says do. I have young preachers calling me now. That means I'm an older preacher now. And several in the last year have asked me, Brother Gwynn, I got to ask you an important question. I said, go ahead, son, go ahead. How do I resign my church? I said, I don't know. I ain't never done that. And so I start talking. I said, why do you want to resign your church? Well, there's this guy in my church. I said, listen, son, years and years ago I had two of them. And they're called deacons. And some of them can be mean as rattlesnakes. If you got good deacons in your church, you ought to thank God for take them out to supper. I got $1,000. I might even pay for it. I don't know. And I told him this right here. I said, who called you to your church? He said, well, Brother Gwynn, God called me to my church. I said, you know God called you to your church. Are you sure? He said, I'm absolutely sure. I said, son, I want to tell you something. The same God that called you to pastor that church, amen, and you knew it, the same God that gave you, amen, clarity of thought whether you need to leave it or not. I said, is God giving you clarity of thought, or are you afraid of that man? And he said, well, preacher, I guess I'm afraid of the man. I said, well, you need to man up and get in your prayer closet and get in your Bible and pastor those people. Amen. And either pray that man to get right or pray that man out. Amen. And God will help you. Now, I can tell you that part. I said, I can give you some advice on that, but I don't give you no advice on leaving. Amen. Amen. God don't want us to quit. Now, I know God moves preachers from church to church. I got sense enough to know that. But when I was in Bible college, Dr. Harold Seitler asked me in Herman Unit's class, he said, Brother Gwynn, he said, do you know what God wants for your life? And I said, Dr. Seitler, I do. I said, I prayed and asked God. I lived in Maryland. My dad was stationed at Andrews Air Force Base. I guess the majority of our tour was in Maryland. They're in Dunkirk, Maryland. And I said, I've asked God to let me go to Dunkirk, Maryland and start a church and win all my people, my friends that I know up there, if he would let me do that. He said, no. I asked God, oh, can I be a missionary and go to the Philippines? I've been there twice. I hear they need someone in the Philippines preaching the gospel. It's your time, say amen. Amen. And God said, no. And then I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to pastor a church. I said, all right, that's what I'll do, Lord. I'll pastor a church. And I told Dr. Seitler, I said, the Lord wants me to pastor a church. And he looked at me, Dr. Seitler looked at me sitting on that stool. And there's about 30 of us preachers in there. Well, not 30 preachers, there's about four ladies. They weren't preachers. But they were in the class with us. He said, Brother Gwynn, if you know that with all your heart, we need some good pastors. Okay, I graduated on Friday night and went to where I am right now on Sunday morning. 7 miles away from where I graduated. And Dr. Silas said, I didn't know he was going to try to steal my members. But No, he didn't. But God put me there, and I've been working and pastoring and loving people and working a job and pastoring and preaching on the radio and the prisons and anywhere I could preach, I'd go preach because that's what God called me to do. And that was the will of God for my life. We have missionaries in here. You definitely need to know that that's the will of God for your life. Now let me say why I say that. Some of you preachers know what I'm talking about right here. I have supported men on deputation. And they'll go on deputation maybe 2 years, Brother Alquist, maybe three. And then they'll call me and say, Brother Gwynn, we decided this is not for us. We decided not to be missionaries. I said, you mean we wasted all this money? We could have been giving it to somebody that was sure? Not just one time, several times men have called me. And when someone comes to me and says, Preacher, I feel like God's called me to preach. I said, we got to talk. Preacher, I feel like God's called me to the mission field. We definitely need to talk. And we're going to find out and make sure it's God doing this, not them. Some of you missionaries are saying amen to this. Deputation trail is not easy. But if God's in it, he'll make a way through every church. If one church don't give you an offering, the other one will make it up. Y'all know that. You know that. So you need to let God speak to your heart in direction, and he will do it detailed. You won't have to wonder, honey, you think we're doing right? Do you think we need to go to this church? Matter of fact, when I first went and preached a trial sermon, filled in for about 2 weeks, I told Kathy, I said, I don't feel like the Lord's leading me here. That was 35 years ago. But God was leading me there. Well, let me rephrase, I'm sorry. Me and my wife there. Okay, she has been wonderful. Hey, the Lord will speak to your heart about detailed information that you need concerning your life and the ministry. Now listen to this. He'll speak to your life with detailed instructions on how to raise them children in the ministry. Don't go with this stuff, well, our children don't get to do this and that. We're going to let them go out and do some public things so they feel like they're not left out of the world. Grab them back. When they get older, they'll thank you for not letting them get out in this world. Amen. My daughter said one time, said, not this one. Kathy had her when she was 40. We started all over again. I said, Kathy, what was you thinking? Oh, I'm so much trouble. Can I say this? I got to say this. I used to have $1,000. I'm going to have to buy my way out of this one. It's gone. Y'all do this. Y'all do this. There goes that $1,000. It's gone. And one thing I love for the Lord to do with my heart is to teach me. I love to be taught. Don't y'all? When the Lord starts teaching you something in your life, whether it's, hey, the great job these singers, what is it, pulpit, what is it, echoes. I like that. I'm going to get me a message on echoes from the pulpit. I am. I thought about it. Yeah, that's going to be good. It's kind of backwards. But maybe I can get y'all to come up. Hey, I got $1,000. I can get you up there. Amen. But I love it when he teaches me. And I want him to speak to my heart with words of warning, okay, about danger in my life, about problems in my life, about the bad situations that come in my life, my family's life, my church's life. I love my church. I love the people in my church. I love the people that come into our church. I love all those with tattoos that come into our church. I love all the ones that... I had one man come in, and he got saved, and he joined our church, but when he first come there, had his hair up in a bun, and I started praying for him. And he got saved, and one night, we might have walked in, he had his hair down. And you ever seen the pictures of Jesus on the pictures? He turned around, and I said, my goodness, Jesus is in the building. And so I never said anything. I said, the Lord's going to take care of that, just like he took care of me when I got saved. Who else was you? About the haircut and all. He did me. So I gave my testimony. I was just preaching, and the Lord said, give you testimony how you got a haircut. I didn't even think about, you know, that, and I don't want to say his name, but I got my hair cut, went back to church. I said, preacher, what do you think? About right here, you know. He said, you getting there. I said, getting there. I said, what do you mean? He said, think about it. So I got to think about that. I said, listen, I paid good money for this haircut, and I went back to my barber, and he was a Christian. And I went over to Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, I said, I come in here and paid you good money to get a haircut. And I went and walked in church thinking my pastor going to say, well done. And he didn't tell me to get a haircut. I was cutting grass one day, and the Lord told me to get a haircut. He told me to leave a lawnmower alone, go back in the house, and get me some long britches on too. I told the Lord that wouldn't go over good. It don't go over good in the South either. Amen. And so I told her, I said, Jimmy, I said, what's that mean? He said, get back in this chair. I said, what you going to do? I ain't got no more money. Not for a haircut. He said, you know what I mean? Get back in this chair. And he got done with me and he bummed me around looking at me. I said, woo, where'd that good looking devil come from? He said, no, you're not no devil. You're a Christian now. Now you got the haircut. Now you walk back in church on Sunday. And boy, when I got saved, I bought me 3 suits, pinstripe. I looked like the preacher. I had my vest on, everything. I had a black pinstripe, a gray pinstripe, a blue pinstripe, and I rotated them, you know, however you want to mix them up a little bit. So I walked in looking good, and I just happened to look at my preacher, never said a word. I said, look at him over there. He said, he's looking good now. I said, all right, I got me a Christian haircut. I've been looking around to see if anybody else needs one. Some of you got too much of a haircut. Don't look at your watch. I ain't done yet. But you know, the Lord has taught me so much in 42 years about what He wants me to be for Him. And what you have to do is like Samuel, say, Lord, Thy servant here, go ahead and speak. I'm listening. If God's people would just listen, that preacher right back there wouldn't have half the problems he's got. And I don't know what kind of problem he's got, but I know he's a pastor, so he's bound to have problems. How many preachers in here have problems? Amen. I mean, I would want the Lord just to help me. To help me. In that the words of reproof, that's when he disapproves of what we're doing. Surely you know when that comes. Boy, I've had the Lord tell me, boy, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And here's what I say. Lord, I feel like this is what you won't do. And I'm talking to the Lord now. And I say, I feel like this is what you won't do. And He'll say, well, I'm just telling you it's not. Stop. So what do you do? What do you do? Stop. Amen. Then you got, I'd love for Him to speak my heart, words of counsel. How many preachers love good advice from the Word? How many of you love good advice when you're on your knees in your prayer closet, right? Everybody's got a prayer, all preachers got a prayer closet, all preachers' wives got a prayer closet, all God's people got a prayer closet. You see that little pause of quietness there? To me, that signifies not everybody got a prayer closet. How you going to understand the Bible if you don't have a prayer closet? Amen. Hey, the Lord, I'll tell you what, down south we call this, the Lord, He plowed my tater row. He said, what's wrong with you trying to preach and do this and do that? My problem was I got burnt out doing everything I knew to do was right, but I didn't listen to God. I was just doing it in my own strength because I knew it was right to do, but I wasn't listening to God. Okay, you got to listen to God. And then everybody loves those words of comfort, okay? That simply means comfort means to ease the grief. Comfort means to, amen, handle the distress in your life. He'll speak to your heart. He'll speak to your mind. He'll speak to your conscience, okay? Now, according, I'm about done. Listen. Are you listening? Okay, please listen. I'm about done. Okay. According to His infinite wisdom, and His wisdom is infinite, okay? He has spoke to me as my Savior. Since I've been saved, He speaks to me as my Savior. He speaks to me because He speaks to me because I belong to Him, He belongs to me. I have a relationship with Him. He talks to me in my prayer closet. He talks to me when I'm studying. He talks to me out when I say, Lord, what you want me to do to help His family? How much you want me to give to that? What you want me to do with this? And He speaks to me through His wisdom. And I'm going to tell you something. When God, listen, we built a church. Back up. I say that all the time. God helped us build a church. We needed the church. Our church was overflowed, and God spoke to my heart and said, it's time to build a building. I went to a few banks. Make it real quick. I went to a few banks. No money. The last bank I went to, she said, preacher, I can't give you $100. I said, why? She said, everything you got coming in, you're sending it out. And I said, that's the way churches run. Money comes in, money goes out. Right? Mission money comes in, mission money goes out. And she said, what do y'all pay your bills with? With the money that comes in and the money that goes out. And she said, what do you think you're going to pay this building? What do they call them things? Yeah, we're going to pay this mortgage with the money that comes in, and we'll send it out. And she said the if word. What are you going to do, preacher, if no money comes in? I said, well, I've been there for 30 years. I mean, well, let's see, 25 years. And I said, it's come in and it's went out. And I said, just hold on a minute. Boy, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, get out of this bank. Don't you go to another bank. And the Lord said, you're going to trust me, and I'm going to build that building for you. And I told that lady, I said, listen, the Lord just spoke to my heart. I'm leaving your bank. I said, I don't want none of your money. She said, well, good, because you ain't getting none. I just told you ain't getting none. I said, you know what I'm going to do, ma'am? She said, what? I said, I'm going back to the church. I'm going to tell our people we're going to build this building by faith and let God do it. And she said, you just get out of my bank and go on back to your church and build your church by faith and invite me when you dedicate it. And she was there. Hey, God built it by faith, amen. God's people still supposed to work by faith. Missionaries supposed to live by faith. Preachers supposed to live by faith. God's people supposed to live by faith. Churches ought to work by faith. Praise God, by faith, God can take care of it. He will. He'll take care. He said, well, God don't know where I'm at. Well, I'm sitting over in the corner of Pickens County, amen, in a neighborhood over there. When I first went to the church, it was called Quail Haven. There was a preacher came in. He changed the name to Quail Haven, thought he could get some people from the Quail Haven subdivision into the church. Well, when I went there, I didn't know that. So I got to looking through some old desks, and I found the paperwork where they changed it. I found the paperwork where 23 men were led by the Spirit of God to start a church and organize it from Welcome Holiness to Welcome Missionary Baptist. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, change that back. Get that Quail Haven off of there. Change it. I said, oh, no, here we go. Remember those two men I was talking about? They back in my story now. And I said, God, you handle them, we'll do it. And they were all for it. Praise God. And so we had a meeting. We had to wait 2 weeks. We had a vote. Everybody voted to change it back to Welcome Missionary Baptist Church. And someone asked me one time, Brother Shannon said, why did you change it from Quail Haven? I said, for one thing, I never saw a quail sitting on our sign. They were all doves. I would have called it Dove Haven. But it's been a Welcome Missionary Baptist Church for 34 years. It was organized as Welcome Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. And by faith, well, you saw the thing. On Father's Day 10 years ago, we moved in. And it was paid for. I had me a little place taped off on concrete before we built our stage and everything, before we put any carpet or anything in. And my deacon helped me. And every morning I'd get to the church before the people would get there to work, and I'd get in my square there, my pulpit area, and I'd pray. And I said, Lord, sure, it'd be nice if you could handle this for us today. And he already had it on the way. Oh, I could tell you stories you wouldn't believe. I'm actually telling you, my wife will tell you, God did some things for me. I said, why did I say that? I told a man he's going to be cured of cancer to build our building. He went to his doctor's appointment on Monday at 3:30. Called me back 4 o'clock crying. I said, Andy, what you crying about? He said, well, preacher, you told me when I went to the doctor, he'd tell me I ain't got no more cancer. I said, what'd he say? He said, I ain't got no more cancer. I said, when are we going to start on the building? Cancer's gone. That's history. We ready to build a building. He said, I'll be over there tomorrow. We'll look at the plan. We'll get started. Y'all believe that? Oh, my, I can tell you some more. I ain't got time, preacher, looking at me back there. And I was praying, listen to this prayer. Lord, in my square, Lord, now, we got $342 in the building fund. And the Lord stopped me. He said, son, don't you think I know you got $342 in the building fund? And I'm thinking, yes, you do know that. And then he said this to me. Brother, then he said this to me. You ain't out of money yet. Kathy, what did the Lord send us the next Sunday? $20,000. Preacher called me up. Said, the Lord put it on the heart of our church as a mission project to take you on. We're going to give your church $20,000. The Lord said, now you got $20,342, big boy. We just kept going. We got back down about $300. That same church called me back. Said, hey, we had a meeting. We got this money back in less than a month. And we want to do it again. I said, amen. And we did it again, $40,000. I just watched God work, and it was, preacher, I'm going to help you now. It's worth 10 more minutes, ain't it? Where's it at? Where's my jar? I watch it every time. The jar up here with the money in it. Anyway, it sits about right here, right? He said, okay, we got some money for the new school. Is that right? School building, puts it in there. God can do it. He can do it. By faith, he can do it. If God puts it on that man's heart, it's got to be done.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Did you hear that? It's got to be done.
Yes, sir.
And if you'll follow that man of God, because he said God wants us to do this, He'll get it done for you. You'll see money come in. Oh, my. We had a children's march one time at a church when we were doing our building fund. The preacher let our kids. We had a joint service. And all the kids, and the preacher said, bring big cups. So I brought big cups. They went around and filled all the cups. They come back, and this little boy, Isaac's in my church. He come up, and he got my coattail. He's a preacher. And I said, what? He said, these people got money. And Brother Porter was standing behind me. He said, you youngins, dump them cups out in them buckets and go again. And we got $3,500 in change. Who did that? Right. Gary Gwynn didn't do that. Leon Porter's church didn't. No, Grove didn't do that. God did that. God did that because I was just trying to follow what he wanted me to do. And a church got to get behind a preacher.
Amen.
Yes. And preachers got to get behind your people. And it's got to be a joint effort with God in charge. If God's not in charge, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. He's got to be in charge. He said, I will uphold you. He said, and I'm going to uphold you with my righteous hand. That simply means I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to support you. And I'm going to be faithful to you as long as you do what I say to do. All you have to do is say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.
Amen.
Walking through Ingles down at the house. And I love the tater chip aisle. There's a lot of good things on the tater chip aisle. And I was just walking back, and I love munchos. Anybody know what munchos are? Oh, man, they're good. And I'd go over look at the munchos, and I was looking around, and this lady walked by me. And I could tell she's crying. And the Lord said, go see what's going on. And I said, well, Lord, I try not to be nosy. He said, go see what's going on. So I just made my way down to the Krispy Kreme aisle where she was standing. Just happened to be the Lord was in it. By the way, I bought 2 dozen. And I said, ma'am, is there something? I'm a pastor right here in Eagle. I said, is there something I can do for you? I said, you look awful burdened. She said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I knew you was. I said, how'd you know that? Donuts. No. She said, I just knew you was. And here's what the Lord told me to do. And I have been trying to do more of this. I have been trying to do more of this right here. When God tells me to pray with somebody, I try to pray with them right then. And she said, I just wish you would pray for me and my family. We got some wayward children. And I said, really? And I said, well, bless your heart. And I looked at her and the Holy Ghost said, pray. I said, ma'am, let's pray. She said, now? And I said, is it okay? Or I can just write your, oh, no, that's great. So there we were, right there with 2 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts in my buggy. And we prayed. And I asked God to help that dear lady and help her son, help her husband, help their home. And I prayed in Jesus' name. And she said, thank you so much. So now I try when I go through a restaurant or I go through somewhere, they say, preacher, please pray for me. I said, can I pray for you now? I've never had nobody turn me down. You know why that is? I'm trying to be a Psalms 115:1 child of God. And I'm trying to listen what God says. We need to listen what God says. How about you? You got a prayer closet? Let's all stand, if you don't mind. Let's all stand. I want to ask you, do you have a prayer closet? Do you have a place you meet with God? I said, preacher, what's a prayer closet? Anywhere you meet privately with God. Just you and God. And you can pour your heart out no matter what it is to God. Do you have that? I can tell you this much. When I got my heart right with God with my prayer closet, my ministry grew. I mean, the unction of the Holy Ghost came into my life. And I'm not talking about and all that stuff. I'm talking about a movement of God in my soul that where he could lead, guide, and direct me with my people and work and what it is I needed to do. And when I got my heart right in my prayer closet, brother, I had a desire to get in this. And I got in this, and God just started opening it up, things I've never saw in 40-something years. Do you have it? Do you even read your Bible? Do you even read it? Do you pick it up? Is it just Sunday? You open it to hear your preacher preach? Or do you take it home with you? So I think I'll go in there and read some of my Bible and let God talk to me. You know, I found out reading your Bible will put you on your knees. And I found out getting on your knees will put you in your Bible. And I found that out. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. But think about it. I think it's very important for everybody in this building tonight to have a prayer closet to where you can talk to God. You need to talk to God. And God wants to talk to you. Amen. Thank you for everything. Thank you so much.